King King?
Yes.
Okay, I have a page full. Pray for Ken Sassy. He will be having triple bypass surgery Thursday. Pray for Eden, one of my granddaughters. She's got some stuff she's dealing with. And then praise report on my little sister. She's out of the hospital. She is at my mom's. She has a PICC line, and she has to go let them administer the vancomycin once a day. But she is out of the hospital, and it is doing better. And then pray for my other granddaughter, Haley Lovell. And then Angela Jenkins asked us to pray for her son, to continue praying for her son.
Okay.
Do you want them all at once?
That's fine. Is
I
there
just
any?
Have one.
Okay. You have one also?
Kayla Amerson, who's having a procedure this morning.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just take a few moments and let's pray over these.
And then continue to pray for Joe Pyatt and Neva.
Absolutely. Gracious God, some mornings, I'm sure on the praise requests, and it may take about, you know, one or two lines. And then there are days like this that take two pages. Actually, almost three pages. There are some moments, God, I think we believe we can handle what's in front of us, and there are some moments that we don't know where else to turn. And so we were reminded we must turn to you. Sometimes we try to do things in the strength of our own spirit when you offer your spirit freely. And God, ultimately, and this is a hard one for us, we simply ask for your will to be done in all of the situations that we lift up. So for Ken, who's having triple bypass, we pray for him. For Eden, whatever she's going through. Renee, who's out of the hospital. For Haley. For Angela Jenkins' son. For Kayla. And for Joe and Neva. God, these are the ones that we've lifted up by name today. But my guess is that each one of us who's in this room right now recording this, and all of you who are watching, my guess is each of us has people on our hearts as well. And so just take a moment and name that person, whether out loud or just in your spirit. Name that person right now. God, we know that you hear our prayer. We trust you. We know that you love us and we love you back. And so we place all of these at the foot of your throne today. Asking your will be done. And asking that you wrap your arms of love and mercy around all of them. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creation by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City.
You want me to do the service times with this?
No, you don't.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you. They protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest today is Pastor Scott Rogers. His title for today is Transformational Conversations. Before we get back into the message, would you please share with the people information about your church?
Sure can.
Any information that you'd like to put
Yeah,
out
absolutely.
There.
Love to.
And also a way that they can sow a seed if they would like to sow a seed.
Okay, great. Yes. So, I serve here at Elk City United Methodist Church. We also serve at Chapel Hill UMC in Clinton and at Eric, United Methodist Church in Eric. But here at Elk City, our worship times, we have a traditional worship service at 9 a.m. on Sunday, Sunday school at 10, and then our contemporary service at 11. We do have Wednesday night programming. We have dinner at 5:30, and then we have children and youth at 6, and then adult Bible study classes at 6:30. Things coming up this week, especially if you're seeing it this week, we do have our trunk or treat this Sunday afternoon. Now, it was supposed to be outside, but it's looking more and more like it might get moved inside. Mm-hmm. But the weather, if it holds, what we're seeing is like 45 degrees and pouring down rain. So we'll probably be inside. But come to the church at 720 West Country Club in Elk City. We'd love to see your kids 5 to 7. Dress them up, and we'll have candy and games and fun and stuff. So that's coming up this weekend. And I do appreciate that. Was asked about, obviously, if you could want to sow a seed in our church, you can go to our website, elkcityumc.net, and go there, and there's a place where you can give online. And we would appreciate any help in that, and thank you all in advance for generosity. So, mm-hmm. All right, so we've talked about, I told you we were going to do it in reverse, talk about conversation and then transformation, don't conversation. And whenever I think of transformation, I go back to what I consider to be my go-to verses on that. And we're going to actually read a few verses of Romans chapter 12. So I'm going to read those to you, and then we'll kind of go from there. So starting in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's kind of my go-to when I hear the word transformation. Paul talks about transformation a lot, but that in that particular passage really hones in on what transformation is. It's a renewing of your mind. It's getting your heart right. But ultimately, it's about doing God's will. Once again, we come back to a conversation. Many of us in many churches, probably most churches, on Sunday morning, at least somewhere, say something about this little prayer called the Lord's Prayer. And we say it, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Right? We do that. But how often have we run by thy will be done? See, it's easy to say. I mean, again, if you ask even a person on the street who has no real church background, they might be able to do the Lord's Prayer. And as Christians, many of us say it again, if not weekly, some people say it daily. I have a lot of friends that at noon every day recite the Lord's Prayer. It's a worldwide initiative that I love. I don't always participate. I need to pour more. But at noon every day, wherever time zone you're in, you can say the Lord's Prayer with other Christians around the world. It's great. But there's that little piece that says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's what transformation is. Because from a very early, early age, I don't have to be taught it. I didn't have to have somebody show me. I knew how to get what I wanted. If you've ever raised a child, you know. When a kid wants something, they'll let you know. And when they don't want something, they will definitely let you know. As we get a little older, I want that. I don't care that you have that cool pen over there. She has a really cool colored pen. I want that pen. Well, I'm bigger than you. I'll just take it from you because it's what I want. No care as to what you want. But as a kid, I want that. Right? Oh, but adults, don't worry. We do it even worse than that. Because we get into things like manipulation. I want that pen, but now I'm going to make you want to give it to me because, well, you're hoarding it. See how we'll turn it around now. Okay, fine, you can have the pen, right? See, we've gotten so good. In fact, I would even argue that we all have PhDs in getting my way. My will be done. We're good at it. And as long as we're functioning under the understanding that my will be done, then if I don't like you, I treat you however I want to. If I don't want to have a conversation with you, then I won't. If I want to say something stupid, hurtful, hateful, well, if it's all about my will, so be it, I guess. And just like the first part of the show, that doesn't sound right, does it? I had a friend at my last church who, I'd been there maybe a couple years, and he had come to my Bible studies, and we were talking about some of the passage in Romans, not this one in particular, but we were in Romans. And he came up to me and he said, you know, Scott, I truly believe that all sin starts with selfishness. That was his word. Like anytime he did a talk or led his own Sunday school class, he would lead from the word selfishness. That's where a lot of this starts, because his argument was that as long as it's about me, I can justify just about anything. You know, if it's about how I feel or what I want or how I think it should go, then really I can justify doing and saying just about anything, whether that's something hateful on Facebook or telling an off-color racial joke or joke about human sexuality or any other things. You know, as long as it's about me and what I want, it's okay. And so his argument was that selfishness is at that root. Well, think about the scripture I just read to you. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test what God's will is, his pure, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, that's what transformational conversation's about. When we see things from God's perspective instead of our own, when we put our will in the backdrop and start doing God's will. You see, I don't believe it is God's will to hurt people because of the color of their skin. I do not believe it is God's will to hurt someone because of where they live or the language they speak or the gender they are. I do not believe it is God's will to tease people because maybe they don't have enough money. I don't think in any way, shape, or form that's what God is after. Because if we believe God created all humanity, Jesus loves everybody, then I don't think there's any way that God's will is about hurting and pushing away a potential child of his own. So, if that's the case, and we are to have our will transformed from my will, what I want, what I, you know, therefore I can justify anything, because if it's my will, I can justify just about anything. When it's about God's will, no longer can I do that. Treating someone as less than, treating someone as a sort of human, dehumanizing, denigrating, being hurtful. I don't think that's God's will at all. The little lady at Walmart who wants to talk to you. You and I don't know what she's going through. Maybe you're the first person that she's reached out to all day. Maybe she's sat at home watching soaps because there's nothing else to do. Watching the Game Show Network. Not picking on the Game Show Network. But watching the old Game Show Network. Decided I needed to go get some eggs and some milk at Walmart. Hasn't really had a phone call from anybody in a day or two. Sees you. Maybe you did a terrible thing. Maybe you smiled at her. And that opened up a conversation. Maybe she just needed someone just to know that there was human interaction. Does it really hurt us for that 30 seconds or so to make that person the most important person on the face of the planet for just a moment? I mean, what does that really cost us? I mean, what does it really cost us when, yes, even the person who makes the chalkboard sound in my head, what does it really cost you, though, to give them 2 minutes and listen to what they have to say? I mean, really, what does it do? I mean, what does it really cost you? What does it really cost you to actually be nice to someone rather than hateful? What does it cost you to, even if somebody disagrees, let's say politically, maybe we have a political disagreement, to listen to them? It doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but at least respect them enough to hear them out. What does that really cost you? The Lord does it every day. The things that come out of our mouth, he has to put up with every day. The things that we say, our little botherisms, he puts up with. Sometimes when we say things that we know we shouldn't, he puts up with it. He hears them. And yet God doesn't give up on us. Just quite the opposite. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us, right? Right out of Romans. So why can't we do that for somebody else? If we're going to follow in Jesus' footsteps, if we are going to have transformational conversation, then that means we have to open ourselves up and be respectful and humanize the people who others might have called least, lost, lonely, pathetic, blah, 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 blah. It gets worse from there. Because it's not about my will anymore. It's about God's will. And I'm going to let you in on something that's pretty transformational in and of itself. The more we follow God's will, the more our own will change. The more we follow God's will, the more our own first thoughts will no longer be some of the stupidity that's come out of our mouths. And look at the transformation that takes place then, both individually, communally, and truly transforms the world. That's a transformational conversation. When we don't look at people as nuisances or interruptions to my day, to my time, but rather we see them as conversations with fellow brothers and sisters on a journey of life created by God, it changes a lot of things. It's truly transformational. And I just wonder sometimes if we practiced transformational conversation more. If we decided that every conversation is a conversation with a brother or sister in Christ. That every interaction is one with someone who's been created with God's image. How different things might be. Because if that was the case, no longer is someone my enemy because they're different. No longer is somebody less than because they don't have what I have, or they're less than because they have what I don't have. Instead, we look at one another as people created by God in God's own image, and therefore they have sacred worth. We could be in relationship with them. So much of our life is not built on transformational conversation. It's built on transactional conversation. What can I get out of this? You know, if I'm going to give you 30 seconds, then I expect something in return. If I give you 2 minutes, I expect something in return. If I give you my ear, I expect something in return. If I give you some of my time, I expect something in return. It's all about transactions. But transactional communication or transactional conversation is still boils down to what I want, how I want it. Transformational is completely different. It's relational. Transformational conversation is about seeing the value in you. Even if you don't reciprocate it. It's about seeing the value in you. Even if it's not reciprocated. You know, we teach our kids as they're growing up and learning about that they are self-differentiated, they can't just take that pen. We teach them the golden rule, right? We do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But for some reason, as we get older, it's almost like we teach it to kids so that we don't have to listen to it ourselves. Because really, it's let me do unto you first before you do unto me. That's transactional. That's not transformational. And so I think our call as people of God, as people who follow Jesus Christ, is to engage in more transformational conversations. To look at one another with love and grace and hope and mercy and all those great things, right? That we sing about and talk about, but actually put them into practice. To truly push God's will ahead of our own so that hopefully my will becomes God's will, not the other way around. How many times have I tried to make God's will my will? Or my will God's will, excuse me. Right? But it's about making God's will my own. But what if we did that? In the United Methodist Church, we talk about our mission statement. And it's to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. I don't think it would do anything less than transform the world. And right now, there are a lot of places. Again, it's 10:24. It's October the 24th when we're recording this. I don't care if it was October the 13th or 12th or unfortunately next year. Turn on your television any particular day and ask yourself, how would transformational conversations change what's going on here? Because I do believe that if we actually practiced it, we transform the world. So, that is our call. That is who we have been asked to become. To become the bearers of that good news, to be the people who live out good news, who don't just talk about thy will be done, who don't just look at every conversation about what I can get out of it, but rather to truly engage in some transformational conversation that might just change and transform the world. I want to be part of that. I hope you do too. Amen.
Good word, good word. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. Thank you for the daily bread, Lord. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, the beautiful Tina Dobbs, our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Scott Rogers. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.